Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What if they gave a whole convention to get you better known and it didn't matter?
I don't think I was as well known, of course, as the president. And so we had a convention and I got better known. People got to see Ann and hear our story. And the result of that is I'm better known, for better or for worse.
For better or worse or no change. Mitt Romney on Meet the Press yesterday. And the pundits may have actually been right this time about who had the better convention. A variety of polls is showing that President Obama went from about 1 point behind Romney in the national popular vote before the two convention weeks to about 4 or 5 points ahead. This is consistent across the Gallup, Reuters, and Rasmussen polls. Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, wrote this up for them and joins us now. Hi, Susan.
Hey, Brian. It's great to be with you.
First of all, a convention bounce historically can be temporary. So what do you think these numbers mean?
I think they're interesting for this reason. You could look at this in one way and say this is about average for convention bounces to get a couple points up. But we didn't expect these conventions to have much of an effect because the country is so polarized. People are so set in their views. We've had all this news happen, all this campaigning, all these campaign ads going on for months, and they've had no effect in changing the overall race. So it was a little bit of a surprise after the Republican convention had almost no effect on these tracking polls to see that the Democratic convention seemed to have had a real, maybe a temporary, but a real effect on the race.
And sometimes, as I said, they are temporary and they wear off after a couple of weeks. That seems to be historically the crucible, you know, crossing point. 2 weeks from now, we'll see if this holds up for Obama. But it is interesting, though, that he got this bounce and Romney didn't get a bounce. Why the difference as far as we can tell?
Well, I think we don't know for sure. I mean, I think the obvious analysis would be that President Obama, the Democrats did a better job in making President Obama's case than the Republicans did in making Mitt Romney's case. I think the general consensus is that Bill Clinton's remarkable convention address had a big effect in making the argument to voters that President Obama inherited a really tough economic situation, and nobody, not even the magical Bill Clinton, who presided over a time of such prosperity, could have done a better job than he's done in managing it.
Yeah, and I guess there's no way to numerically measure how much of the president's bounce we should attribute to Bill Clinton's masterful lawyerly argument. But here is something President Obama has been saying about Clinton on the stump the last few days.
After he spoke, somebody sent out a tweet. They said, you should appoint him Secretary of Explaining Stuff. I like that. Secretary of Explaining Stuff. Although I have to admit, it didn't really say stuff. I cleaned that up a little bit.
The president said that in St. Petersburg, Florida. There were a few other versions in a few other places. Secretary of Explaining Stuff, Susan.
Isn't that the perfect description of Bill Clinton? Because I remember from covering his presidency for 8 years how he did have, for all his flaws, and he did have flaws, he does have this gift for taking complicated and controversial issues and explaining them to Americans in a way that they can understand. I mean, think about the Affordable Care Act, which is the administration has had so much trouble defending and explaining to Americans. It's still a majority of Americans still think it was a bad thing that it was enacted. What if Clinton had been trying to explain that bill from the start? Maybe people would have a different perception of it now.
More important than the national number is what's happening in the swing state polls. Have there been good state-by-state polls over the weekend that you've seen?
Well, we've had some state polls, but, you know, you want to be cautious. I mean, one reason we went ahead and wrote a story about the convention bounce is because we had three different polls, one of which we trust a lot, the Gallup tracking poll, that showed the same trend, showed a bounce of 4 to 7 points off the Democratic convention. We've got a PPP poll out of Ohio that shows Obama up 5 points. But, you know, this is one poll. It's a robocall poll. I would want to wait a little bit and see see that's being confirmed by other by other polls before we take them too seriously. But you know, I think it's fair to say that the Democrats had a good convention. And, you know, people talk, Brian, about how important these debates will be in October. You know, historically, this period is more determinative of the election than the period of the debates. There's a book coming out next month by two political scientists that tried to look at this in an extremely academic kind of way. And they concluded that that when you get 2 weeks out from the last convention, then you know who will win the election. In the last 15 elections, if a candidate had a lead 2 weeks out after the last convention, invariably they won the election in November.
Wow. The last 15 elections, if they had the lead 2 weeks after the conventions, they won the election.
That is right. And this study, which is by Christopher Lesian, a political scientist at Temple University, and Robert Erickson, which is just a little academic for my taste. They sent me a copy of it. I've tried to plow through it. But the case they make is that by aggregating all the polling that you can over the last 15 elections and look at what had an effect and what didn't, conventions had a big effect. Debates tended to confirm where people were before the debate happened.
Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today, our first guest today as we talk about the convention bounce, meaningful or only temporarily meaningful, as it may be for President Obama. Anybody want to chime in with a comment or a question? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You know, I heard one theory of the Democratic convention on CNN that the whole show in Charlotte was aimed at Ohio and Michigan, especially with so much emphasis on the success of the auto bailout, because Ohio and Michigan are trending toward Obama recently. And if he wins both, there's almost no electoral college path to victory for Romney. What do you think of that theory?
I think that is only half right. I think that there are two states you watch for, and those are Ohio and Florida. Michigan is a pretty Democratic-leaning state. I wouldn't say that's one of the core states. You know, if you really boil, it's one of the, if you had a dozen swing states, you'd include Michigan. If you had six swing states, you wouldn't. If President Obama manages to hold on to either Florida or Ohio, it becomes very, very difficult for Mitt Romney to get to 270 electoral votes. He must win Florida. That's, everyone says that, 29 electoral votes. It's a big prize. He probably needs to win Ohio. And that's why you see, where do you see the candidates going? They go to the same set of states, Ohio and Florida and Virginia and Colorado. I mean, it's really a handful of states that they're focused on. And the first states of all would be Ohio and Florida.
You talk about the historical predictors. It would be pretty remarkable historically if Obama wins the election at all. A president running in the worst economy since the Great Depression, winning the home state of the Republican nominee, Michigan, and running on a platform that includes raising taxes. Here's the president saying that again on CBS.
You can't reduce the deficit unless you take a balanced approach that says we've got to make government leaner and more efficient. But we've also got to ask people like me or Governor Romney, who have done better than anybody else over the course of the last decade and whose taxes are just about lower than they've been in the last 50 years, to do a little bit more.
So, Susan, it would be remarkable historically under those conditions, right? I mean, George Will said on ABC yesterday that if the Republicans can't win under these circumstances, they might as well get out of politics and find another business.
You know, and this is really the partisan flip side of 2004. In 2004, Democrats thought that this was an election they could hardly lose against an unpopular incumbent president, George W. Bush. They nominated somebody they thought had real strengths on national security. And yet what the Republicans did that time was define John Kerry before he had a chance to define himself, and Republicans won an election people thought they couldn't win. I think the Obama people took some lessons from that case, and that is what that's why we've seen such harsh attacks on Mitt Romney, even from before he had cinched the Republican nomination, to make him unacceptable, to portray him as a rich guy who doesn't understand your lives, who has exotic investments, to attack in particular his business record, his record at Bain Capital, because that has been such an asset for Mitt Romney. I think we are really seeing the reverse of 2004 play out this time.
Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Susan Page from USA Today. Hi, Bob.
Thank you. Good morning. Hello, Susan. Hi, Bob.
I was just wondering if one of the issues that's really hurting Republicans now is their refusal to specify what tax deductions they want to eliminate. Norah O'Donnell really made Paul Ryan sweat it out on Face the Nation yesterday. Now, Romney's position has been eliminate all deductions and have a flat tax. And same thing with Senator John Kyle. He's been their point man. Eliminate all deductions. But now they're backing off of that. Romney and Ryan are saying, well, only certain deductions, only deductions that rich people use. But the Democrats always point out it would be deductions for mortgage interest payments and charity. But in addition, people would lose deductions like if you have medical expenses, we can deduct that right now. State taxes, property taxes, if you own a home, premiums on health insurance. Those are all middle-class, working-class deductions, and under the Romney plan, we would lose all that. And yet, Ryan and Romney refuse to specify what deductions.
They won't. Bob. So that's an important question. And yes, Norah O'Donnell on Face the Nation went really hard after Ryan on this yesterday. Certainly, Romney was pressed on Meet the Press as well. And he seemed to say that the latest version of it, which I'm not sure, Susan, is really a change, but maybe it's just a change in what part of it he's emphasizing, is that the loss of certain tax deductions would be means tested, he was basically saying. So if you're, you know, in the middle class and you take charitable deductions or home mortgage interest deductions or your health expenses are so high you take those deductions, you're not going to lose those unless you're better off. He seemed to be implying means testing.
You know, I think Bob is exactly right that the Republicans have been loath to provide the kind of details that you might expect from a presidential candidate, and that the analysts who have tried to look to see if the Romney and Ryan plan adds up, you know, if the arithmetic works with the plan, have either said it doesn't work or have been unable to come to firm conclusions because of the lack of details. And it was interesting, both of them got, I thought, pressed on this, as you say, yesterday, and yet refused to specify even a single deduction that would be eliminated under their plan. And I wonder if that's a sustainable position. I wonder if by the time we get to the first debate on October 3rd, which is on the economy and domestic policy, that they will have been forced by that time to come up with a more specific plan.
Interesting. Well, let's go to another call. Seth in Frenchtown. You're on WNYC. Hi, Seth.
Yes, how are you doing there? You know, I was listening to your comments about the convention and I take it the Democratic bounce. And I think there's something more significant here. I mean, what I really got out of these conventions was the Democrats did an extraordinarily good job at uniting the party. And they did it through personalities, through Bill Clinton, through the First Lady, and through a number of candidates, and of course, Teddy Kennedy. So they pulled it together, and
well, not Teddy Kennedy.
I think people were confident, that confidence factor wasn't there with the Republican Party. This might be more significant, this bump, you know?
It could be. Well, time will tell. Seth playing pundit there. I have a theory, Susan, that for all we in the press made on Friday of the juxtaposition between the president's speech and the lousy jobs numbers, the jobs may not matter that much because they don't provide any new information. People know we were growing jobs slowly, and they knew their own employment situations, for better or worse. What they didn't know was the impact that the convention speeches would have on them. So in that way, the conventions were news. The jobs numbers weren't, for many Americans, bad as they were. You think?
Well, I think that's possible. People know that there's a problem with jobs. These numbers were a little more disappointing than I think the administration had, certainly than they had hoped, and below the predictions by the various economists who predict these things beforehand. And I guess we need to wait. You know, for the Gallup tracking poll, which is the one we should take, the one done in the most traditional way, and the one I trust the most, and we have a relationship with Gallup. You know, it's a 7-day poll. So we need to wait a couple days and see what happens with the tracking poll before we know for sure that the jobs number didn't have more of an effect. Clearly it's not a help to President Obama, but maybe people have kind of baked that into the cake at this point. They know jobs are a problem. They wish job growth was better. But as you say, they already knew that.
Danny in Massapequa, you're on WNYC. Hi, Danny.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back after a long summer. I'm ready to argue the right point again.
All right, go for it.
Because I didn't watch 10 minutes of either convention, because in this day and age of 24/7 news, I mean, I think everyone pretty much in this country made up their mind, maybe 10%. And you think of all the money that was spent on both sides of the aisle for these conventions, they're almost completely obsolete. I don't even know why they do them anymore.
Danny, thank you. But I was struck at the numbers of people who did watch, Susan. 25 million for Clinton, even as another 22 million watched the Giants against the Cowboys on the same night. 30 million, I think it was, for Obama, something similar for Romney. And when you figure that the electorate in November is about, I think, 125, 130 million people probably, that 25 or 30 million people out of that watching these speeches is a lot.
It is a lot. Now, it probably has a partisan slant. You probably are more likely to watch the side you agree with. But I think Danny makes a I love conventions. I love going to conventions. But I think he makes a fair point about their usefulness. I don't think we're going to see a four-day convention again. You know, both conventions this time lasted effectively 3 days. They didn't have any trouble getting all their business done.
But then why do so many – and I understand, and you were saying before, that there are, you know, the commercials and the various kinds of online ads and everything have been out there for months and months. But if that's the case and everybody's really made up their minds, then why do tens of millions of people watch these shows?
Well, I think some of them are watching just have their position confirmed. If you're a Democrat, you want to see Barack Obama speak. But I'll tell you, I do think that some of these undecided voters, you know, Danny said 10%, maybe it's smaller than that. This is the point where a lot of those voters tune in. You know, these are people who are not the most engaged in politics.
Right.
Maybe they're living life, like sending their kids to school and working at a job or going to church or whatever. And this is the point where some of them say, well, okay, I'm going to start paying attention to the election and to these candidates because I know I'll want to vote in November. And that's one reason this period of time, I think, continues to have some real impact on the outcome of the election.
One more thing on Romney from Meet the Press yesterday. He talked in softer terms than we've usually heard on the health reform law. Here's a clip, and tell me if you think this is a change of tone or content for Romney.
I'm not getting rid of all of health care reform. Of course, there are a number of things that I like in health care reform that I'm going to put in place. One is to make sure that those with pre-existing conditions can get coverage. Two is to assure that the marketplace allows for individuals to have policies that cover their family up to whatever age they might like. I also want individuals to be able to buy insurance, health insurance, on their own as opposed to only being able to get it on a tax advantage basis through their company.
So, Susan, to my ear, the content is things that he said before, but the tone was fairly different.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, he always talked about repeal and replace, but during the Republican primaries, it was all about the repeal part. Now it's in a general election, and he's talking about, well, you know, this very popular provision, I would certainly not want to get rid of that. So the Romney people say it's not a change in content, but it's clearly a change in kind of the sound of it. It's you know, it's like the words haven't changed, but the music is different.
I want to make sure I mention at least one thing that the president did not bring up in his speech and that no Democrat brought up during the week that I heard from the stage in primetime or not, and that was guns. Gabby Giffords recited the Pledge of Allegiance Thursday night, one of the most emotional moments of the whole 2 weeks. And the Republicans actually put in their platform a promise to protect large capacity clips and magazines. That was their response to the movie theater massacre in Colorado, to explicitly wrap their arms around those clips. But the Democrats refused to go there.
You know, it's been one of the big changes during the time I've covered politics is the fact that Democrats feel that it is politically impossible for them to talk about gun control. It puts them at risk in states like Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin and Colorado, where there are a lot of gun owners, a lot of hunters, and they have made a political decision not to go there. Even, you know, Mayor Bloomberg is just about the only politician in America who actually talks about gun control now after we have these terrible incidents.
Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Her article today is about the convention bounce for President Obama in three major national polls. Thank you so much for talking about it with us.
Hey, Brian, great to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will continue to unpack the increasingly complicated and increasingly intriguing Vito Lopez scandal. Part of it now is Governor Cuomo versus Sheldon Silver, and there are all these ramifications. It's the Vito Lopez scandal, Chapter 25B, coming up next.